I'm here with Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Alexander, let's just get right into it. The OPCW, WikiLeaks has released what they call part four of OPCW Duma. I'm going to read you directly from that release, and you can comment right afterwards. Needless to say, the OPCW story is just getting worse and worse for the OPCW. Their lies are being exposed. Here is from WikiLeaks. Today, WikiLeaks releases more internal documents from the OPCW regarding the investigation into the alleged chemical attack in Duma in April 2018. One of the documents is an email exchange dated 27 and 28 February between members of the fact-finding mission, FFM, deployed to Duma, and the senior officials of the OPCW. It includes an email from Sebastian Braja, chief of cabinet at the OPCW, where he instructs that an engineering support from Ian Henderson should be removed from the secure registry of the organization. Quote, please get this document out of DRA, Documents Registry Archive, and please remove all traces, if any, of its delivery, storage, whatever, in DRA. The main finding of Henderson, who inspected the sites in Duma and two cylinders that were found on the site of the alleged attack, was that they were more likely manually placed there than dropped from a plane or helicopter from considerable heights. His findings were omitted from the official final OPCW report on the Duma incident. Alexander.
Right. Perhaps let's just, we've discussed this story several times in several videos now, but let's just remind ourselves what this is, what this is all about. This is about a chemical attack, an alleged chemical attack that supposedly happened in the Syrian town of Duma, which is near Damascus, in 2018. This was a town that was controlled by an Islamic group called Jaish al-Islam, which is a very, very hardline militant group with an ideology very similar to Al-Qaeda. Some say that it has connections to Al-Qaeda. It was in control of this town. The Syrian army placed the town under siege to drive Jaish Islam, Allah's Islam, out. And they did eventually, lay down their arms. Jaish al-Islam did eventually lay down their arms, and the Syrian army marched in and took the place over. Now, just a few hours before this happened, before the Syrian army gained control of Duma, reports appeared on social media and in the international media that there'd been a chemical attack on the town. And we had all the usual pictures and photographs and people looking ill and all the stories. This is another chemical attack. And of course, the Western powers immediately rushed to the conclusion, or said they rushed to the conclusion, that it was the work of the Syrian government. And within a few days of that attack, the United States, Britain, and France launched a series of missile attacks on Syria, purportedly in retaliation for this chemical attack on Duma. Now, what then happened after furious exchanges between the Russians and the Western powers on the Security Council, the UN Security Council, between the Russian ambassador there, Mr. Nebenzia, and the US, was that eventually the OPCW was prevailed upon to send inspectors to Duma to find out what happened. This was after not just the alleged chemical attack itself, but after the US, British, French missile attack. And of course, what happened was that these inspectors then delivered their findings to OPCW headquarters in Vienna. Several months passed. A first report was published by the OPCW, which admitted that there'd be no sarin. Sarin is this deadly chemical that the Syrian military is alleged to have used in earlier attacks in Syria. They found no sarin traces there. but that they did find traces of chlorine. And then several months later, a final report appeared, which said that, in fact, there had been a chlorine attack on Douma. Now, in other words, that there had been a chemical attack on Douma, chemical weapons attack on Douma, and that it had been a chlorine attack, an attack with chlorine, and that these traces of chlorine were attributable to that attack, and that the chlorine came from two canisters, which the report said had been airdropped. The point about them being airdropped is that the only participant in this battle with an air force is the Syrian Air Force. So saying that these canisters were airdropped essentially linked the chemical attack to the Syrian army, the Syrian military, as the US and Britain and France had alleged. Now, what has happened is that over the last few months, that story has absolutely crumbled. And we've heard first, we got a leak of a report by an on-site inspector working for the OPCW, an engineer, a Mr. Ian Henderson, who went to Douma and inspected the canisters and provided a clear report in which he said that the canisters, obviously, it was very difficult to see how the canisters could have been in the position that they were in if they had in fact been airdropped. Almost certainly they had been placed there manually. Now, it was a manual placement of these canisters clearly points to a fabricated incident. In other words, to an incident that was made to look like a chemical attack, but which wasn't actually a chemical attack at all. And then we've had a string of other leaks from the OPCW, which has made it now fairly clear that it wasn't just Mr. Henderson who was unhappy and who was contradicting the information that the OPCW secretariat was insisting upon, that there'd been a chemical weapons attack, that it had come from the canisters, that the canisters had been dropped by aircraft. It turns out that lots of other inspectors were extremely unhappy, both with the final report and with an interim report that the OPCW prepared, and also with an interim draft report that the OPCW prepared. That an original report prepared by the inspectors cast grave doubts on the entire incident, and that in fact the toxicologists who were part of this part of the inspection team disputed whether there'd been any kind of chlorine attack at all, and they said that the symptoms that the supposed victims had experienced, which is not consistent with chlorine poisoning. This is now something that has also come out. And over and above and beyond this, we've also learned that various political people within the secretariat, a British diplomat called Mr. Fairweather, Sebastian Braha, who is a French diplomat, remember Britain and France participated in these chemical attacks. He also appears to have been, well, he also was involved. And it turns out that at one point, the inspectors were lectured by unnamed American officials who'd insisted to them that there was, in fact, a chemical attack, even though the inspectors disputed that there was. So what we now have is a further leak via WikiLeaks of internal OPCW documents. And these point the finger directly at Sebastian Braha. This is this French diplomat with a very senior position within the OPCW. And it turns out that what he was up to was that he was trying to suppress, he was trying to destroy, in fact, all trace of this report prepared by Ian Henderson, which said that these canisters from which the chlorine allegedly came from, that these canisters were not dropped by aircraft, but that they were manually positioned on the ground by presumably the Jaish al-Islam or other jihadi groups who were in control of Douma at the time. So we have a situation where the inspection team is saying one thing, the officials at the OPCW headquarters in Vienna are saying, are publishing completely contrary findings, contrary to those that the inspectors provided, and that the officials apparently are trying to suppress the information that was coming from the inspectors. So I'm afraid total distortion of the actual findings and a cover-up. There's no other word for it to conceal the fact. A cover-up that goes to the extent of destroying the information from the inspectors that contradicts what is now the official story. I mean, it cannot get more serious than this. It really can't. One wonders how much more we're going to discover. But already, it seems to me, we're looking at an organization in deep crisis.
You took the words right out of my mouth. This is the definition of a cover-up. Remove this information from the documents so that the picture presented to the people, to the world, to be pushed out by the mainstream media was to go to war in Syria, to attack Syria because Assad once again gassed his people. That was the narrative that they were trying to push. The OPCW tried to push us to all-out war. You cannot describe it any other way. You have, once again, WikiLeaks doing great work. Assange is rotting in prison in the UK right now, but WikiLeaks once again shows us the truth. The OPCW was also involved in the Skripal case, amongst many other investigations that they did. I think now the Skripal case is completely called into question as well. And there's another part of this release from WikiLeaks Alexander, and I'm going to read you another document that shows more manipulation on the part of the OPCW. And I'm pulling this from Al-Masdar News, which is citing the WikiLeaks press release. Here it is. Another document released today is minutes from a meeting on the 6th of June, 2018, where four staff members of the OPCW had discussions with three toxicologists, clinical pharmacologists, one bioanalytical and toxicological chemist, all specialists in chemical weapons, according to the minutes. The purpose of this meeting was twofold. The first objective was to, quote, solicit expert advice on the value of exhuming suspected victims of the alleged chemical attack in Douma on 7 April 2018, end quote. According to the minutes, the OPCW team was advised by the experts that there would be little use in conducting exhumations. The second point was to, quote, elicit expert opinions from the forensic toxicologists regarding the observed and reported symptoms of the alleged victims, end quote. More specifically, quote, whether the symptoms observed in victims were consistent with exposure to chlorine or other reactive chlorine gas, end quote. According to the minutes leaked today, quote, with respect to the consistency of the observed and reported symptoms of the alleged victims with possible exposure to chlorine gas or similar, the experts were conclusive in their statements that there was no correlation between symptoms and chlorine exposure, end quote. The OPCW team members wrote that the key takeaway message from the meeting was, and I quote, that the symptoms observed were inconsistent with exposure to chlorine and no other obvious candidate chemical causing the symptoms could be identified, end quote.
Well, you have it there again. I mean, the experts are saying one thing, which is that this story, this Douma story of a chemical attack with chlorine makes absolutely no sense. And the secretariat, the officials, are refusing to accept this. And rather than publish the fact that these experts are saying one thing, they're going along with a story which we now can say. I think that there is no real question about this, a story that simply cannot be true. There was clearly no chlorine attack in Douma. I'm now going to say that straightforwardly. I cannot see how one can argue that there was a chlorine attack in Douma of the kind described, when the actual experts, the people who understand chlorine poisoning, say that there is no correlation between the reported systems and a chlorine attack. If anybody in the OPCW, within the secretariat, wants to come along and say, well, you know, there's some mistake here, that this is a misunderstanding, that, you know, you're getting incorrect reports from these people, you know, we've got other experts who say something else. Well, let them come along and say that. They're not doing so. There is instead a total silence. The OPCW is not responding to these reports, these latest reports from people like, as I said, the toxicologists, the people who understand chlorine poisoning. They're not responding publicly to the report of Ian Henderson, the one who says that these canisters weren't dropped from the air, that they were placed there. They're not responding to reports that OPCW inspectors were incredibly unhappy with the reports and felt that the amount of chlorine traces that they discovered were typical of what you would expect in an urban environment and were not consistent with usage of chlorine as a chemical weapon in Douma. They're not responding to any of this. Given this silence, what else can we do but accept these reports that we're now getting from all of these experts as true? So I come back to what I said. Clearly, there was no chemical attack in Douma. There was no chemical attack with sarin, because the OPCW itself has admitted there were no traces of sarin in Douma, and there was no chlorine attack in Douma either, because we know that one set of inspectors whose information was leaked in an earlier WikiLeaks leak said that the chlorine traces that were found were insufficient to prove a chemical attack. And now we have another set of experts, the toxicological experts, who say that the symptoms that the alleged victims exhibited do not correlate in any way with chlorine poisoning. So there was no chemical attack of any kind in Douma at all. That seems to me, on the basis of the information that we now have, to be the only possible conclusion. And I am very, very glad that you mentioned WikiLeaks and the important role that they are playing at the time when the founder of WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, is rotting. That's the absolutely correct word to use, rotting in Belmarsh prison. Note the complete silence of the mainstream media in discussing these leaks. In Britain, they are barely being reported at all. Only one journalist, Peter Hitchens of the Mail on Sunday, has been able to get out the story in a mainstream newspaper, which is the Mail on Sunday. And he wrote a very, very sad comment on his blog recently, which has also been published by the Mail on Sunday, lamenting the fact that no one else is reporting this story. It is extraordinary how the OPCW is unraveling, losing its credibility, not just, of course, in Syria, but all across the world. Everybody, all the major powers now, India, Brazil, China, South Africa, everywhere across the world, except in the West, people are watching this. They're reading all of this. They're now well aware of the fact that the OPCW has been taken over, in effect, by a group of people at the top in the Secretariat who are beholden to the Western powers, and that his reports are no longer reliable. And you mentioned how, you know, the Skripal affair, the OPCW is supposed to have played a key role in that. Well, try telling South Africans, Indians, Brazilians, Argentinians, Indonesians, Filipinos now that the OPCW information on the Skripal attack is reliable when they have it in black and white. In black and white, how the OPCW report on Duma is not. And by the way, I would add that at the time of the Duma attack and at the time of the Skripal attack, there were people in Britain and the United States who were trying to link the two and to set and to point the finger at Russia in relation to both. The Russians were sort of insinuated to be carrying out chemical attacks in Syria at the same time as they were carrying out chemical attacks in Britain. So there we are. They're destroying the credibility of this key organization that is there to police and administer and enforce the chemical warfare, the chemical weapons convention, which, if this goes on for much longer, that convention too, another key arms treaty, will be in crisis.
Yeah, I completely agree. The mainstream media blackout of this story is quite disgusting. In the U.S. side, it's only Tucker Carlson that has reported this. Everyone else, from Fox News to MSNBC to CNN, New York Times, Washington Post, complete blackout. And actually, they still push the Assad gassed his people narrative. And I'll take Fox News, for example. Many, many quote-unquote journalists there keep on pushing this line, Assad gassed his people. They owe the Syrian population and Assad an apology, and they need to get their facts straight. I completely agree with you, Alexander. Russia, India, Pakistan, South Africa, China, Indonesia, Philippines, they all need to look at the OPCW and say, look, either this place cleans house or we're out of here. Because there's no doubt the OPCW is completely corrupted. And Alexander, your final thoughts. What happens next? Does Trump, does not the UK, does not France, does not the United States, Nikki Haley, Trump, all these people that pushed for war with Syria, they pushed for war, and people may not want to hear that. They also need to issue an apology. I know they won't, and what I'm saying is extremely naive. But I wouldn't mind seeing a tweet from U.S. President Trump saying, you know what? The OPCW is corrupt, and they got it wrong in Syria. Let's see that tweet, because he's tweeting the exact opposite in terms of Syria.
Well, can I just say something? I mean, I believe it or not, the one person who I can just about say something like that at some point in the future, maybe Donald Trump. He has shown a maverick ability to go against narratives before. He's never been keen on the war in Syria. I don't know whether he's even aware of all of this with the OPCW, by the way. I mean, he does follow Tucker Carlson, so perhaps he is. But
well, I'll tell our users real quick, Alexander, this video will get suppressed. It'll get demonetized. It won't get the exposure it deserves. So I tell all our viewers, share the video out. Share this news out. Get it into Trump's view. Get it into his Twitter timeline then, because I would like to see that tweet.
Absolutely. I mean, and you know, it may come. And by the way, if it happens, that will galvanize the whole thing. I mean, you have a string of denunciations from the Democrats and all kinds of people like that, saying, you know, Trump is an imbecile, a monster, he's turned around and all that kind of thing. But, of course, that will expose the story, which at the moment, as I said, is being suppressed. For the rest, the British are not going to apologize. The French are not going to apologize. The OPCW itself, the Secretariat there, isn't going to apologize either. None of those people are going to apologize. And maybe apologies is not really what we should be looking for. What we should be looking for is a final admission that this war in Syria has been an utter disaster. It has been massively manipulated in propaganda terms. You can't assume that any reporting you get on Syria, on any subject, is true. I mean, you simply can't. I mean, we've repeatedly come across this, where we see things being said about Syria and about the war there, that when you actually drill through to the bottom, they just don't correspond to what we can see ourselves, to what the facts and the information that we are being provided with access to. But perhaps even beyond Syria, this does bring back the subject of arms control treaties and the international organizations that administer them. If the OPCW is now being taken control of in this way and is being used in this fashion, that is an incredibly serious thing. And I think there needs to be a full investigation done of what is going on with the OPCW. I think people like Mr. Arias, who is its Secretary General, Mr. Braha, who is this French diplomat who is now the chef du cabinet and apparently essentially runs it, Mr. Fairweather, who was the previous chef du cabinet, who also previously ran it, all of these people need to be asked very severe questions. And we really need to clean this organization out so that it can work properly and transparently. All this secrecy is unnecessary. We need to have full reports. When we have reports, we need to see all the dissident opinions. We need to have all the information provided so that people can form their views. We can't have a situation where only one side of the story is being presented. And I come back to what I said, based on the information which has been provided now, up to now, that story which is being provided, the official one, is a false one. The United States, Britain, and France launched a chemical attack, a missile attack, on a sovereign country. The Russian military was there. I mean, it was an extremely dangerous situation. It could have gone horribly and disastrously wrong. And you talk about a cover-up. Of course, there is a cover-up within the OPCW. There is an even bigger cover-up, because what the OPCW is trying to do is cover up for the fact that what the Americans, the British, and the French did by launching that missile attack was an act of aggression, unwarranted, illegal, and contrary to international law, and based on a story of a chemical attack, which was untrue.
They need to go to prison, Alexander, all these people. They almost got us into a massive world war, and we would have seen hundreds of thousands of people dying if conflict broke out between Russia and the United States. And that's how close we were. That's how close we were.
We were very close. We were very close. I mean, it was the good sense of General Mattis, who was the U.S. Defense Secretary at the time, and of various other U.S. military officials, which basically held back from a much bigger missile attack, which has been threatened. But as I said, I mean, you know, we talked about Arias and all those people in the OPCW who need to be asked questions. What about Macron in France? What about Theresa May, who was prime minister? What about Boris Johnson, who signed it all off? I mean, he was foreign secretary of Britain at the time. All of these people need to be made to answer questions. And these diplomats, Fairweather and Braha, British and French, who were they working with? I mean, were they in touch with the British and French foreign ministries? Well, of course they were. I mean, how was all this coordinated? Who were those American officials who came along to the OPCW and trying to put pressure on the inspectors?
All right. Alexander Mercuris, Editor-in-Chief of the Durant. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell. Look for us on iTunes and SoundCloud for an audio copy as well. Check us out on BitChute and DurantVideo.com, where we post all our videos. and donate to us, PayPal, Patreon, subscribe, star. Your donation really helps us out a whole lot. And we still have DRN 20% off everything from the Durant Shop. It's still running. So go to the Durant Shop, pick up some merchandise, put the code DRN20 in the checkout page. And we also have two ebooks, Alexander, on some more cover-ups, Epstein and Ukraine Gate.
We certainly do, if I may say so. I mean, we're living in a world of cover-ups, it seems to me, because if we're talking about Epstein, I mean, our book on Epstein is primarily on this specific subject. I'm afraid my dog's
either bring your dog into the video. I'm not going to edit any of this out. Either bring your dog into the video or...
he's getting very excited because he's... Yes. Shall I start again, Alex? There we go. Come, Mishka, there we go. There we go.
Just keep on going. Just keep on going, Alex. There we go. Talk about the ebooks.
There we go. So may I just say, I mean, my dog is obviously furious also about all of these cover-ups, and so he should be, because our ebooks are all about, as Alex correctly said, cover-ups. Cover-ups seem to be almost completely out of control at the moment. And in some ways, the most grotesque of all is the one involving Jeffrey Epstein. Now, what we've discussed Jeffrey Epstein many times in the videos we've done. We've had massive trouble, just as we've had with the OPCW, getting videos circulated, our videos about Epstein. I mean, they get routinely demonetized, so they don't circulate freely in social media. They get suppressed. And we're not, of course, the only people who try to report Epstein's story, who found ourselves facing the same difficulties. And it is very consistent with the whole reality of the Epstein affair, because what you have here is a man, Epstein, apparently immensely rich. He allegedly is worth $577 billion. We know for a fact that he is a massive criminal, a serial sex offender, a serial rapist, a sex trafficker, a monster. And yet we know so little else about him. We don't know really how he became rich. We don't really know who he really was. We don't know how he got all the extraordinary connections that he did. There is so much mystery about this man. And we also find out that all kinds of other people, powerful people, people like Bill Clinton, Alan Dershowitz, Prince Andrew, and of course, Ghislaine Maxwell, his alleged accomplice, all of these people were somehow connected to him. And again, no real explanation has ever been provided of how this man, who came somehow out of nowhere, was able to acquire all of these connections. And of course, he didn't just acquire those connections. He was able to carry out his crimes in clear view. I mean, he barely concealed from anybody what he was doing, which is why when the FBI finally took the case against him seriously, the whole Epstein thing tumbled like a house of cards. But even then, even after Epstein's arrest, we've known incredibly little. We don't know anything about the way the investigations are going. There's all these unanswered questions about how he came to die, whether he was murdered, whether he committed suicide. All these speculations are out there, but very, very few answers. So our ebook puts together all of these various questions and mysteries and discussions that have been about Epstein. And in some ways, even more than Epstein himself, even more than the crimes that he committed, incredibly serious though those were, there are these unanswered questions and the cover-up, if you like, which is even more important. Now, as for Ukraine Gate, well, that is, in my opinion, not just a cover-up, but a cover-up of multiple things. Firstly, it's a cover-up of the failure of Russiagate. I mean, you had the whole attempt to impeach Donald Trump on the basis of a completely bogus story that he was an agent of the Russians. And that story, that original Russiagate story, I am convinced, and I always have been convinced, that one of the reasons that was peddled to the extent that it was in order to cover up the fact that during the 2016 presidential election campaign, the FBI and the rest of the US intelligence community were undertaking surveillance of Donald Trump's campaign, probably, quite probably, on behalf of the Democrats. So, I mean, you know, that is an enormous cover-up in itself. Russiagate collapsed, so now they've looked for another thing, which is Ukrainegate, to try to divert attention away from Russiagate. And of course, Ukrainegate isn't just a cover-up of that, because we have all this extraordinary mysteries and stories now coming out of Ukraine itself. We learn about what all kinds of people, Hunter Biden is only one of them, Devin Archer, all these extraordinary American officials, sons of American officials, sons of American politicians. They were all going to Ukraine. They were doing all kinds of things there. They were being paid vast amounts of money for doing those things. We don't quite know what those things were yet. We don't seem to get a true sense of all the things that were going on in Ukraine. But the sense we get is that it was on a huge scale and that it was very serious. So you get Ukrainegate is a cover-up, not just of Russiagate, but of all of those things that were going on as well. And as we try to explain in our videos, which are transcribed in our book, and in fact in our book, Ukrainegate itself is a completely flimsy, phony story. I mean, there is, if Russiagate was invisible, Ukrainegate isn't just invisible, it's just nonsensical. There is nothing there at all to pin on Donald Trump. I've seen some people say, you know, that, you know, Donald Trump didn't do things perfectly right. I disagree. I don't find that there is any evidence of wrongdoing in any of the interactions Donald Trump or his officials had with the Ukrainians at all. So those are our two ebooks. Please go to our shop. You can find them there. You will learn an awful lot from them. You will also, of course, DRN20. You will all, DRN20 being our discount code. It covers the books. It covers all the other great things that we have on our shop. It covers our famous magic mugs, of which Alex, I think, is drinking from one at the moment. I have mine misplaced at the moment here in France, where I am on skiing holiday. And of course, we have, as you can see, we have our wonderful Durand shirts. I'm wearing my long sleeve one because it's sub-zero temperatures outside, as it should be in an alpine mountain resort, which is where I am. So we have our mugs, we have our shirts, our wonderful 100% cotton shirts. But I'm going to emphasize today our books, our two ebooks, which I think you will find very enlightening. And as I said, we've had the cover-up of the OPCW. We've had a massive cover-up with Epstein. We've got a cover-up with Ukrainegate too. So DRN20 is the discount code. As Alex said, that discount campaign is still running. Come to our shop, buy those books, learn all those things, buy all our other great products, help the Durand, help yourself, buy your friends presents. Alex will tell you how to do it.
I'll put a link for those books. I'll pin the link for those books in the comments section. Your dog is saying it's time to go. All right, Alexander Mercuris in France. Everyone take care. Have a great day.
Get him up there. There we go.
He just pulled her up by the hair.
There we go. All right. He's very, very cross at the moment about all the back going on.
Yeah, okay. Upset. Upset about the OPCW. All right. Take care, everybody.
Take care. Bye.